You know what? Yeah. But anyhow, great to be with you folks tonight. And we thank God for all the gospel preaching, Bible teaching churches all across America. We need more of them. And we thank God for this one, Heritage Baptist Church. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Joshua chapter 14. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments about a very important character in the Bible. His name is Caleb, and if you find your place, would you stand to your feet as we read a portion from God's holy and infallible, inspired word tonight. Joshua, I'll be there in just a second. Joshua chapter number 14. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look at it together. Joshua chapter 14, let's begin reading in verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Pastor, would you pray for us tonight? Thank you. You may be seated. You know, so many Christians today are just going through life, I think, just holding their own, you might say, satisfied with the status quo. They're drawing their breath and they're drawing their salary, and that's about it. In other words, most Christians I know, I'm afraid, are living defeated lives. Now, why is that? Do we have to live defeated? Do we have to live out in the wilderness of despondency and despair and depression and all those things when we could live on a mountaintop of victory? God intends for us all to enjoy victory. In fact, the whole book of Joshua, if you study it, is really about living a victorious Christian life. And I'm going to call Caleb tonight the Bible's first spiritual mountaineer. Caleb said, I want that mountain. Do you want it? Do you want God's best for your life? Do you want God's best for your family? Do you want God's best for your church, for your business, whatever the case may be? I want God's very best. And you know what? We all can have it. God is no respecter of persons. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do it for you. Let's look at Caleb tonight. I hope you're like I'm tired of the status quo. I want something better. Now, who was Caleb? Well, he was one of those 12 spies that Moses selected to go out and spy out the land of Canaan to see what was down there. And you know what? He and Joshua were the only two who came back with a good report. The other two cowardly spies, they said, yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants over there. Yeah. But Caleb and Joshua, they said, no, there's giants over there. But brother, the Lord has already given them into our hand. We can take it. The land is just there for us to take. That was their attitude. I think Caleb represents you and I, the Christian, who is supposed to be living victoriously. He represents a Christian who is about to possess his possessions. He is the Christian. He is the type of a Christian that we all ought to be, who is about to receive God's best for his life. Now I want to talk to you briefly about Caleb. First of all, notice Caleb's character. Notice his character. Look at verse 8, the last part of verse 8. It says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." Yeah. Isn't that a great testimony? Amen. Now Moses had the same witness concerning Caleb. Notice what Moses thought about him. Verse number 9, "Because thou hast wholly followed my Lord, the Lord my God." Moses said Caleb was that type of man also. Now look at the last part of verse 14. "Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Brethren and sistren, I don't know if that's a word, sistren, but I'm going to use it. Brethren and sistren, that's three times. If I counted correctly, that the Bible says Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord his God. Brother, I believe that means every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber in his being, every corpuscle had been given over to the Lord. How many of us can say that? Well, God's got something great for us if we'll just give it all to him. If we'll get all in with Jesus, in other words. I know what some of you are thinking, though. You say, "Well, brother, that's where you hunted. That's where you got it on." You see, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. I'm just a layperson. But, brother, that's where you got it all wrong. Because if you're saved tonight, the Bible says you are not your own anymore. You have been bought with the price, with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and you're not your own. And I tell you what, if you haven't given it all to Jesus, I'm talking about if you haven't given him everything that you have, then you're a disgrace to the name Christian. Think with me. Caleb was a man of character. My, how we need Christian men, women today that have this kind of character. Not only that, but notice that Caleb had a confidence. What's your confidence in tonight? Well, let's look at Caleb. Look at verse 6. I'm going to point out just some small phrases here. Look at verse 6. It says, "The thing that the Lord said." Did you see that little phrase? "The thing that the Lord said" in verse 6. Look down in verse 10. "The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said." That little phrase, "as he said." Look on down in verse 10. "The Lord spake this word unto Moses." The Lord spake this word. Look on down in verse number 12. "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake." Did you see that? "Whereof the Lord spake." And then on down in verse 12, "I shall be able to drive them out." What you counting on, Caleb? "As the Lord said." Brother, I don't care what your problem is. It's already solved. If you'll get in this book, the answer is here. And brother, we need to dig it out. It's there for us. You say, "Well, I've got family problems. I got financial problems. I got problems you don't know anything about, brother. I'm glad I don't know about them, but God knows about it." I tell you what, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I don't care what your problem is tonight. And if you're not saved, you got a real problem. You need Jesus. First mountain you need to claim is Mount Calvary. You need to climb up that mountain and bow at the foot of the cross and place your faith and trust in the crucified one, the one who bled and died in agony on that cross. You need to trust Jesus tonight. Brother, that would be the first mark of victory in your life, if you give your heart and life to Jesus. But I tell you, so many Christians need to get some victory tonight too. And they need to put their confidence. Brother, you say, "I don't know what to do with these kids anymore." You better not find out from Dr. Spock what to do. You better get in the book of Proverbs. It'll tell you what to do. If you'll obey it. I tell you what, this is our battle axe. When we go into battle, this is what we better go with against Satan and this world and all the philosophies of this world. Brother, this is the only way we can come out
on top. But on the victorious side is putting our faith and confidence in God's holy and inspired word. Not only that, but applying it to our lives. Caleb had a mountain to conquer. We got mountains to conquer, don't we? I tell you, I believe as he walked up Mount Hebron there, brother, he had a battle axe in one hand, but he had a title deed in his back pocket. He knew God had told him something. God says, I'm going to give you that mountain, Caleb. It's yours for the taking if you'll just go after it. Just believe in me. The Lord had promised it to him. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, the Bible says, the Lord hath said so that we may boldly say. When God gives you something from his word, brother, you can take it to the bank. You can build a life on that. You can build a church on what God says. You can build a family, a home. Whatever you need to build, you can build it if you build it on God's word. And it'll be successful. Must hurry. Caleb had a character, brother. That led to his confidence. I believe finally tonight his confidence led to something else. It gave him courage. You're going to have some courage nowadays. I think things are happening now that's going to start separating the the ones that really want to stay with the Lord and the ones that don't, brother. It's just going to start separating those who got it and those who ain't got it. Those who want to go all the way with Jesus and the ones that want to fall by the wayside. Things are happening nowadays, brother. You're going to have to, there's some things that there's no middle ground. You're going to have to get on the right side of it. You're going to have to get on the left side of it. There's no middle ground. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to stand for the right. You're going to go with God. I believe Caleb didn't even have to stop twice to think about who he was going to go with. Brother, he had already determined in his heart he was going to go with the Lord. You know, Hebron, was it worth it? Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. Grapes. The Bible talks about the figs and the pomegranates, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a rich land, but brother, there were some adversaries over there. If you go after something good, God gives you something to do. You can count on it. There'll be some opposition. That's just the way it works. You strike out to do something for God, I'll challenge you. It won't be long. Somebody or something will get in your way to try to hinder you from doing what God would have you to do. Somebody has said nothing great has ever been done from a rocking chair. Somebody else said the door of opportunity swings on the hinge of opposition. God's made it that way. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul knew about adversaries, didn't he? I worked with some adversaries they had to face over there in Canaan land. Well, first of all, they had to face, starts with a G, grasshoppers. You thought I was going to say giants, didn't you? I fooled you. Turn over, hold your place in Joshua and turn over to Numbers real quick. Numbers chapter 13. And I want to show you something. Numbers chapter 13. Notice what the last verse says of Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. This is part of that evil report those 10 spies came back with. Numbers 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as, what does the Bible say? As grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I'm going to call this the grasshopper complex. I believe most of our churches have at least some of this or a lot of it. It's folks that sit around with a grasshopper complex. You know what that is? People who sit around and say it can't be done. There's always going to be a few like that. It can't be done. Or maybe they say, well, it shouldn't be done, Pastor. Pastor has a vision to do something for God. And somebody says, well, Pastor, you know, we ought not to even undertake such an undertaking. You know, it shouldn't be done. Or maybe there's always one big old grasshopper says, well, Pastor, I've prayed about it. And I'll tell you what, if I have anything to do with it, it won't be done. You ever seen that? Yeah. Grasshopper complex.
Brother, that's holding churches back.
Yeah, right.
It's not so much the giants, I don't think, as it is the grasshopper complex. You know, they're beat before they ever get in the fight. They hadn't even got in the battle yet, and they've already thrown in the towel. I tell you what, Caleb was not that kind of individual. You know, people who are... Who are these kind of people? People who are willing to sit back in their wilderness wasteland and say, well, we're safe over here. There's no giants over here. I tell you what, there ain't no grapes over there either. There's no blessings over there either. I want the best that God has, don't you? But there were giants, don't get me wrong. These were real. These sons of Anak, the Anakims, the Bible calls them. That's not headache medicine now. The sons of Anak, they were real. They were like Goliath-sized men. If you look at them through these eyes, sure, they would create fear. But Caleb, I believe, was looking at these guys through the vantage point of God. He knew the Lord was in control. In fact, I believe Caleb, when he saw all those guys, I believe he got excited. Probably somebody said, Caleb, man, those guys are too big to hit. What are you talking about? Caleb said, they're too big to miss. What a target. It's all perspective, isn't it? You're going to look at it through the eyes of the flesh. You're going to look at it from God's viewpoint.
Amen.
I tell you what, there were giants, but you know what? If you don't get anything else tonight, get this. The difficulties that God sends your way, listen, the difficulties that God sends your way are the very things He'll use to make you strong. Isn't that right? Isaiah said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I tell you what, the pessimist always sees difficulty in every opportunity, but the optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. Caleb had a character. He wholly followed the Lord. That gave him confidence, I believe, in the word of the Lord. And that gave him courage, not only to overcome grasshoppers and giants, but also to overcome his own gray hair. We're not getting any younger, are we, Pastor? I'm losing some hair. Well, it's not turning loose, it's turning white. Bro, you got all your hair still. How you raise that? But I'd rather it turn white than turn loose. But I'm losing both ways. But we're not getting any younger, are we? You know, the tendency is when you get older, I say, well, let the young folks take it over. I've done my time. Just sit on the sideline for a while. Brother, ain't no getting off place. In the battle of the Lord. Amen. You know, these young folks are looking for the older folks to step up. don't quit on God. Don't sit down on God. Whether you're 5 or you're 85, don't quit on the Lord. There's no quitting place that I know of in the Word of God. I'll give you a story about a lady we met in Moorcroft, Wyoming years ago, 2004. We were there at a church that was about to close up. Pastor, they were about to padlock the doors forever. And three elderly widow ladies were what was holding it together, but they were about to shut off the power, shut off the gas, and padlock the doors forever because they couldn't get a pastor. Church about 40, 50-something years old. They and their husbands had founded the church. Their husbands had died off, and there they were, three elderly ladies in their 80s. And there was one lady by the name... Miss Lil McEwen, she was there, 84 years old. And brother, I knew that she wanted to come to church. You know how you can tell some people want to come to church? She come in with her oxygen bottle in her hand. You know, in the tubes and all, carrying her oxygen bottle. Not only that, she had congestive heart failure. She had Parkinson's disease. She had a bad back. And she had the worst kind of sugar diabetes, had to take two or three shots, gave herself shots every day to manage that sugar diabetes. Brother, she was a mess health-wise. But you know what? She was there every time the church doors were open. Another pastor, a friend of ours, he helped us to rescue that church that summer and keep the doors open. We coveted together to tag team preach. And if we were in town, we would have services. And if we were out of town, he would come over from Sundance, Wyoming, and hold an early service every Sunday morning. Keep the church from being closed up. People started coming back. We had as high as 30 and 40 people in attendance again at that church. We had a vacation Bible school there that summer. Kids got saved. Those elderly ladies, they were so excited to see the church being revived. By the way, they have a pastor today. All of those ladies are now gone, dead and gone to heaven. But they've got a pastor today. Prairie View Baptist Church, Moorcroft, Wyoming. But anyway, I'll tell you this. While we were there that summer, Miss Lil fell and broke her hip. And I said, my goodness, all the health trouble she's got, no way. You know, she probably won't come back from broke hip. 84 and all these difficulties she's got. We went to sit to the hospital, Gillette. And she said, yeah, the doctor came in this morning. He told me, he said, Miss Lil's no problem. I can fix your hip. He said, the problem is if I put you under, you only got about 30% chance of waking up. She said, I told the doctor, go for it, fix my hip, put me under. She said, if I don't wake up, she said, I'll just be in the arms of Jesus. She said, but if I do wake up, I'll know that God has at least one more job for me to do. Are you kicking a little bit tonight? Are you breathing a little bit still tonight? I didn't see a person come in with an oxygen bottle tonight. Thank the Lord. But brother, that inspired me. I knew she wanted to be at church. If you're still alive and kicking, you're saved. It just means that God's got at least one more job for you to do. We ought to get after it. We ought to get about it because Jesus is coming soon. Let's pray. If y'all come. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this good hour, this good night we've had to worship you and, Lord, to fellowship with these good folk. Lord, thank you for Heritage Baptist Church here in this beautiful place called Hazlett, Texas. Lord, we didn't know about this place, but we're thankful to be here. Pray that you'd bless these folk, and Lord, bless them as they march on for thee, and Lord, as they build, as they grow, and mostly as they reach people with the precious gospel through their mission program and all their avenues of service and ministry. Lord, bless them. Use this pastor. Give him mighty wisdom, Lord, to lead this flock of folks. I pray that you bless them. Lord, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. If there's one lost in our midst, help them to make this the good night. They'll come to Jesus. Cry out to him for mercy and be saved. Pray that you'd help the saved, Lord, to draw closer to you. That's the whole purpose of these meetings. We ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. As they sing, would you come? Would you stand to your feet? God's spoken to your heart. Would you come? The Holy Spirit speaking. This is time to do business with God. Would you come?